No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Welcome back to We Want Winners. Niners in week one came away with a victory in Seattle. I wouldn't consider it a fantastic game by any means, but at the end of the day, when you go into Seattle and you come away with a victory, even though last year, for whatever reason, Seattle was not a good home team, but still, like, that place was loud. I sensed that maybe there were more Niner fans than usual there, but it was still a good victory. Rod and I will talk about it. There were some negatives to it, including some injuries that we'll discuss here. But Rod, overall, coming away with a game in which it very much looked like it was probably going to be a heartbreaker on the 49ers end, coming out of that game with a victory has to be a positive after week one.
Absolutely. Like you say, it was lining up. You watch enough of these games, and you know, they call it the witching hour on Red Zone, where the good and the bad and the ugly happen. And it was lining up like, okay, you know, this is Darnold's going to go down here, and they're going to score a touchdown, and it's going to be a heartbreaker. But then you realize, oh, it's same Darnold. That's okay. we'll be fine. And it was it we all left happy, but yeah, it didn't feel good there at the end for me, at least.
So I guess the first thing, and I imagine even as you come out of the game as a 49ers fan, going like, okay, we're 1-0. We go into New Orleans. New Orleans is, depend on who you talk to, you know, one of the two or three worst teams in football, at least right now. And you feel like, okay, like, that's good. Maybe you go 2-0, and then you start, you start the season in good shape. There is a problem with their special teams that was supposed to be fixed, and it looked worse than ever to me. Like, I was, you know, Sky Moore did a dependable job, I would say, returning punts, but they had penalties on. It was either on a punt or a kickoff. Moody, Niners, we haven't even talked about the missed field goal, but the Niners take the lead 17-13, and you don't have a lot of time left on the clock. I'm going to guess they wanted Moody to kick that thing to the 1 yard line, and he kicks it right in the end zone, and then Seattle gets the ball at the 35. Like, immediately, kind of going like, okay, what you said earlier. All right, this has all the makings of the Niners giving this game away to Seattle at the end. But it's stuff like that where, you know, they grabbed the new special teams coach, and they made it a priority in preseason and in training camp to rebuild the special teams. Jake Moody misses a chippy early in the game. Then they get another one blocked. And it's just like, man, this special teams which is supposed to be rebuilt, looks worse than it's ever looked. I was just flummoxed watching this game.
Yeah, it was really frustrating. Like you say, we had, you know, been sold, you know, the rebuild, and it just, it didn't, it you couldn't tell by, like you said, you couldn't tell by today's performance.
Yeah, it was, it was just all around the board. Like, I was looking for things. I was like, okay. And the best I could come up with was Sky Moore was safe and dependable on punt returns. Like, that was as much as I could muster as far as positivity for special teams. But where are you with Moody? I think when he missed the first kick, which was a 27-yarder, as the Niners offense was looking pretty decent, I think the defense looked at least in the first half, maybe the run defense looked a little iffy, because I was kind of wondering, I was like, man, this looks a lot like last year. But then they held ground in the second half, and I thought they did a really good job in the second half. But you're watching this Moody stuff, and it's just like, were you at the point of, let's get Greg Joseph on the phone and not let Moody get back on the flight? Like, where were you after the first miss?
I mean, it's just, I was where we seemed like Kyle was when we went to that game against Chicago, where it was like, I was like, look, we're just going to go for it on every fourth down. Yeah. And we aren't going to trot him back out there. It just, because at this point, we've seen enough of him to know that it's not physical. It's not, he's able to kick the hell out of the ball. His physical talent is not questioned. So, I mean, it's got to be mental at this point. And then when you get to that place, you know, it's like, I'm a golfer. And like, when you get the yips as a, I mean, it's like, how do you fix that? How do you get out of it? And then, you know, so he was one of three, and I guess the block is not on him. I guess I am not able to tell if, you know, who's at fault necessarily. Did he kick it too low? Did they just allow too much penetration? I'm not smart enough to discern that. Yeah, that it's a concern. It, you know, and it would have been, I believe, if not for Nick Bosa, it might have been a story, you know, at the end of this game, if we don't pull it out, or, you know, if they go down, they score and we lose by three. I mean, that's all we're going to talk about for the rest of this week is. And so it looks like we have forestalled that for another week. But I mean, he would have to go on a long streak of not missing for this not to be an issue. It's going to continue to be an issue every time he misses.
So the story of the game, Niners come out and score very early. George Kittle looks fantastic. It looks like the Purdy to Kittle is just going to be there all day long. He pulls his hamstring. I think he was blocking, or it was a play that was not, he wasn't really involved in, and he was just running downfield, and it looks like he came up limp. So he was out for most of the game. Juwan Jennings looks like he hurts his shoulder. So then he's out. So Brock Purdy down 13-10 in the fourth quarter, the last drive of the game for the 49ers. His wide receivers are Ricky Pearsall, who had an excellent game, by the way, Russell Gage, and Jake Tongis. Those are his receivers. And, of course, CMC out of the backfield, who they used exclusively in some cases. Like, anytime Brock needed, you know, a first down, it was like, okay, we're just going to get CMC out there, and we're going to him. But those were the receivers that Purdy had to throw to it. And so we get down, it's third and goal, and Purdy rolls out, and he's sitting there. He's got to roll out again. He actually rolls out of the pocket two times on this play. goes, throws off of his back foot, which was a problem earlier because he threw an interception off of his back foot earlier. And so now he throws it what I assume was just literally up for grabs. It was like, all right, I'm going to give our tight end, who is taller than the DB, a chance to try and get up. But he kind of underthrows the ball. So Tunjus doesn't even have a chance to kind of outleap the DB. Instead, Tunjus has to come back, and the DB is kind of just waiting there to catch the ball. And Tunjus jumps in front of the DB, snatches the ball out of the air for the touchdown. And I saw a quote where he was like, I just wanted to make sure I got my feet in, and I didn't even realize everything that happened until I looked at Russell Gage, and Gage was like, you scored. And then Tunjus was like, oh my gosh, this is the, you know, the go-ahead touchdown. But, you know, this is why, to me, this game felt eerily similar to 2024, but in 2024, I think we'd lose this game. So that's the little bit of a difference, because you had the injuries, you had the special teams breakdown, and you had Brock trying to be Superman, which he actually talked about in the offseason, saying there were times because of all the injuries where I tried to do way too much, and I think that cost us. And he kind of did that today. There were two interceptions. The second interception was like one of the worst throws you're going to see from Brock. He threw it into triple coverage, and pretty Ricky had no chance to get the ball. So you had all of the designs of the 49ers losing, except you had Christian. Now, I don't think Christian had what you would consider one of his best games, but he was just there. The fact that he was there was so helpful. But then they do pull it out at the end. So that was the main difference. That throw to Tunjus was, like I said, seemed like it was a little bit up for grabs, but kudos to Tunjus and kudos to Purdy, I guess, for putting it out there. But
and then Brock had another near interception that was, again, just not wasn't very good decision making. I mean, I'm you know, in a win is a win, but it was kind of concerning that according to a stat I saw on Twitter, so you take that for what it's worth, that according, you know, with two games to go this evening and then Monday night, to that point after the late games, Brock was like fourth in the amount of time per pass, and he still seemed to be rushing and not making the best decisions. But, you know, a win is a win, but there was a lot of, you know, I can't remember very many. I can't remember very many. I can't remember Brock having very many multiple turnover games. Mm-hmm. So it was not his best performance by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, we got the win. And then also, while I am not one to, like I said in our, you know, preview of the season, I think it's ridiculous to limit, put like a pitch count on CMC.
Yeah.
But also 32 touches is he had 10 targets and 22 carries. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And it was to the point where, you know, pretty Ricky notwithstanding, because he had a great game, it was just when Kittle goes out, you know, CMC is it in terms of somebody you would consider somebody that the defense is worried about. Because, again, he had a great game, and it looks like he's going to get a lot of targets just, you know, as a matter of course. But, again, I saw nothing. And, again, I see the numbers, and they look great. But I watched the game, and I just don't think that Ricky Pearsall is going to be somebody that, you know, defensive coordinator is going to stay up late at night worried about. If he is your wide receiver one, in air quotes, you know, I think most defenses feel like they can live with, 10, 12 target games from Ricky Pearsall. It's just, he's just not that kind of game wrecker. But he had a great game too, and him and Brock seemed to have they seemed to have a real good connection. And he, I believe, is ideally suited to play that slot and to play off guys like when Ayuk comes back and Kittle and McCaffrey. If he's in the mix like that, I think that's where he is best served. You don't want him to be somebody that the defense is focused on. But again, it was a great game, and I don't want that to sound like shade or because it was a good win, but it was concerning. Like I think you had kind of mentioned, and it was like, when a play needed to be made, you knew where Purdy was going with the ball. He was gonna find a way to get it to Christian, regardless. So, yeah, it worked out that we won the game, but I was really crestfallen when George went out because he looked great early.
Yeah. And look, he's going to be the guy, I think, without Brandon Ayuk. He's going to be the guy that if I was defensive coordinator, I would be focusing on because
he's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
He really is.
And we were talking about whether or not he's going to start falling off a little bit with production because of his age. And last year he was like, nope, I'm going to be better than I've ever been. And so, you saw him in the first quarter and you're like, he's the man. He's like, you have your tight end being your first option to score a touchdown. Like he just runs a little out route into the near the pylon for a touchdown. And that was the play. So, that, when he went out, I think it was probably one of the bigger losses that you could have. Maybe CMC, if he had gotten hurt, that would have been a bigger loss. But George is probably second. And so it's going to be we'll be watching the injury report for the MRI on his hamstring. And I guess Jennings is going to have some look at his shoulder as well. Before that, I wanted to ask you, or actually I wanted to mention, supposedly Pearsall saw the opportunity for the double move and he told Shanahan that it was going to be open. And that's why they called the play. I was trying to, as I was reading, I think it was Matt Barrows's column in The Athletic. I guess Pearsall was interviewed talking about it. It sounded like he was like, hey, this thing is open. If we need a big play, let's run this. And they ran it at the perfect time late in the game. And he does a double move and catches a, 40 some odd yard pass, which if you're Brock Purdy, we talked about this last year where he's got a little bit of that gunslinger mentality. He had just thrown a pick on the series before. And so then you're like, he's just going for it. And it was there. And I thought that was a really great play. And if Ricky Pearsall in year two has got Kyle's ear like that, when other year two receivers could barely get Kyle
on the field.
Yeah, and Pearsall's already got like, hey man, let's call this play. I thought that was kind of telling. And so I agree with you. We talked about this a couple weeks ago that if Pearsall is your one and he gets all the focus, he's probably going to, get shut down essentially, but that could open up stuff for other guys in this sense. To see what he saw and be able to figure that out, I thought that was great. What did you think about Brian Robinson? Because to your point about Christian, I think if you're Kyle, you're a little bit more comfortable pulling Christian out for plays if you think that Brian Robinson can do some things. And I thought he ran the ball okay in the fourth quarter. Some of that was probably just a little bit of the Seattle defensive line getting tired. But then there were moments where, we needed 2 yards and they didn't allow the 2 yards. So they were ready then. But I thought he had some good runs, but I didn't he didn't feel fast to me. And
he's
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was done.
He's what I saw in Washington is he'll get what's blocked. You can count on him to do that. He's just not a very explosive player. That's just not, if you block it, he'll get it. And that's what he is. And, that was what I saw today. I didn't see anything that, it was what I expected. And I just, it's one of those deals where, you want to get Christian. You don't want him again. Like I said, I don't think you want him touching the ball 30 plus times. But it's not like you want to give a bunch of those. I'm not necessarily comfortable with giving a bunch of those carries or targets to B-Rob. It's just because I just don't know what he's going to do with them. He caught a pass and got, he didn't get any yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up averaging, like three and a half yards a carry?
He was at 3.7. Christian was at 3.1.
Yeah. I mean, but Christian early on, it was really tough sledding. I think they had 53 yards in the first half. And it just really didn't seem like there was much there. I thought they ran the ball better relatively in the second half. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something that's going to be continued to be monitored. And hopefully, as we move forward, they'll be able to, between Robinson and hopefully Garrido can come back. So he has some juice, he's fast. And I think he'll end up, if he can get healthy, I think he's more of a change of pace along the lines of what we need than Brian Robinson is. Because again, Brian Robinson, a solid back, he's not going to kill you or hurt you out there, but he's not going to, you're not going to get a 25 or 30 yard run or, pass play from him. Whereas we saw that Garrido can give you that kind of explosive big play, which if I'm going to give targets and carries, if I'm going to take them away from Christian, I don't want to give them to somebody who's just going to get me 4 yards. I would prefer to give them to somebody who might take it to the house. And that's the kind of player Garrido seemed to be. But it seems like just like the, like Eli Mitchell before him, that those fast guys just have a hard time getting and staying on the field.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
So we talked a lot about the offense. Let's look at the defense here. In the first drive of the game by the Seahawks, the Niners blitzed a couple times, and I thought, oh wow, you know, they're really going to go after Darnold, and they're going to make Darnold make some, you know, maybe some quicker decisions than he wants. And I was thinking like, oh, you know, there's going to be some turnovers here. Like, he's going to make some bad reads. He's going to make some bad throws. And then they kind of pulled back and they didn't really do it a lot. And I don't know if it was because Smith and Jigba was kind of cooking them. And so that's why they needed help. And, you know, Upton Stout had a rough ball game. They just picked on him like he was, you know, he had a target on his back. But if you look at the targets for the Seahawks, Smith and Jigba had 9 catches for 124 yards. So he had a really good game. He did fumble though. So that was a tough play for them. Do you know who was the second leading receiver? If you were to guess, who would you think was the second leading receiver for the Seahawks?
I'm going to say it was a running back, maybe?
Kenneth Walker.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah.
Three catches for 4 yards. He was their second leading receiver. Game.
He had a horrible game, honestly.
10 rushes for 20 yards and 3 catches for 4 yards. So, you know, Darnold, they went run heavy, similar to the Niners. So the Niners had the ball and, you know, much, much longer. And then, you know, they seemed to be moving it decently. They just could not put the thing in the end zone. But Seattle, 26 rushes, 84 yards. Zach Charbonneau, he looks like the best player on their offense. He and Smith and Jigba, but he's the number 2 running back to Kenneth Walker. I know a lot of Seattle fans who think Walker's going to have a big season, but there's a reason I picked up Charbonneau on a couple fantasy teams. This defensively, I just wonder if the Niners were like, okay, like, we don't really have to do much because we're going to be able to stop Seattle from getting in the end zone. And then late, when it looked like Seattle was going to make that drive to end the game and come back and win the game, then Bosa's like, hey, guys, remember me? And he just pushes the tackle right into Darnold as he's about to make a throw, gets credit for a sack. Darnold fumbles. Bosa picks up the fumble, and that ices the game for them. What did you think about the defense specifically around, when you only give up 13 points and you go into somebody's house and win a game, the defense has to be a part of that and play a big part of that. And, they may have been a little bend, but don't break. But ultimately, Salah's here for a reason. What did you think of game one?
I mean, yeah. When you give up 13 points, I don't care who you're playing against and what, you know, deficiencies they might have, which I think that there are many, because they were the big thing coming in. They went to you know, they're running the same offense we run. And the big question was, was their offensive line going to be able to establish a strong run game? Because, like we know as 49er fans, when you can rush the ball, it sets up, this offense is predicated on being able to, if you're able to run the ball, everything else kind of opens up to you, play action and otherwise. And they just, as you said, they were just completely ineffective running the ball, which showed in the number of attempts and the average, and then also the lack of, you know, we held the ball for 38 minutes, and that was partly because of our offense, but it was partly because between our defense and their ineptitude in being able to run the ball was just problematic. And it was, I just opened up the stats. JSN was pretty much it. It's crazy that, like you said, the second leading receiver was Kenneth Walker. And he had as many targets as Cooper Kupp, which, maybe Kupp is cooked. I don't know. but yes, Darnold didn't look great. And I don't know if that was, I'm sure that was a combination of him just being Sam Darnold and, our defense. The defense was solid. It was a very good first effort. It's a ridiculously simple take, but the defense looks a lot better when you got Nick and and Fred out there. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty rough in the preseason, but those guys are, the quintessential racers. They are able to make plays and make a defense look bad. I mean, make an offense look bad. And that's really what it came down to. I mean, they were really, really good.
I was looking at the young players who the Niners drafted to see who showed up on the stat sheet. So Marcus Siegel, 6 tackles, 5 solo tackles. You saw him on the field. He was in the mix. Renardo Green, second year player. He had a hold, but he also had a great play where it may have been Smith and Jigba who caught a ball. And as they were going down, Green pulled it out of his hands for an incomplete pass. And then you had, Alfred Collins and Michael Williams, 1 tackle each. I didn't even really see Williams much. And then Bryce Huff, who they talked about, he may have had did he have like a good rush? There may have been one where he batted down a pass or something, but ultimately he's not on the stat sheet. So I couldn't even tell how much he played. But what did you think about any of the newcomers? Who stood out and who was like, did this person even play?
Yeah, it was the same. I see like Gifford had 4 tackles, but I don't really recall that. I was expecting more, when you look at the preseason, I was expecting more from Chase Lucas, but he only had a tackle. Upton Stout, they talked him up a bit and he had a pretty rough first go of it. Alfred Collins had 1 really good play. And then I didn't really even notice Williams, honestly. So, it was obviously a collective effort. It wasn't outside of Fred and Nick. Nobody else really stood out to me in terms of, I guess you're Siegel's name a lot, and he seemed to be around the ball a lot. It seemed more of a group effort than anything else.
I'll give you 1 more guy who I definitely noticed. D. Winters had a couple nice plays, and he was second on the team in tackles for loss. I think Nick had three, and he had two.
Yeah.
And that's where the speed comes. If they blow up the play and they can read what Seattle was doing. Seattle had a couple of really like odd plays that I did not think that were necessarily right for the moment. And, you know, I'm here I am, offensive coordinator extraordinaire, because I play NCAA football on my PS5. But there were a couple, like there was a screen. There was like a delayed wide receiver screen that looked like the Niners read completely, and Darnold still threw the pass. They even tried a hook and ladder on a third down that seemed kind of, I don't know, a little anxious. Like maybe we can't really do this normally, so we got to, you know, dial up the trickery. But I did notice D, because, you notice him because he's quick and he gets in there. And, he blew up a couple plays. I did not see Nick Martin very much, and I don't know that he had any tackles at all. I don't think he's on the stat sheet either.
No, he's not. He is not.
So, you know, decent, you know, just it's not that those guys. Oh, actually, I have the inactives right in front of me. Nick Martin was inactive before the game, so he did not even get an opportunity. So they had Bethune and they had Gifford ahead of him. So he's inactive before the game even started. That's interesting. I wonder what we'll hear about that. If we hear anything from Shanahan on Monday. So the Niners, they go into New Orleans. And because it's a 10 o'clock game, I think you and I might be able to actually go live next week after the game. I wasn't able to go live tonight because I have my wife and I have something to do at 4:30 for the next few Sundays. So any home games through October, we'll have to do it like this, where Rod and I record late and we don't go live. But any road games where they start early, we'll be able to go a little bit earlier and maybe even go live. So next week we'll be able to do that if you are available, Rod. I don't want to speak for you.
Absolutely. I am absolutely available.
So the Saints had a game against the Cardinals, and I guess they were game. Like, I didn't get to see any of it, but reading the recaps, it looks like the Saints were kind of driving to tie the game, but the Cardinals stopped them on all four downs to end the game, essentially. But they played them tough, and you know, that is not to say that the Niners are going to go in there and blow them out or anything, because you know they played well enough to win today, but they were not they were not a world beater in any way. But you know, it is nice to kind of land after winning this first game, and then you go, okay, Seattle's not killing people. They still have weapons. Still have Alvin Kamara. So what do you think about next week's game against New Orleans?
I think that, you know, you talk about the West Coast and those early starts. Because I guess New Orleans is not technically the East Coast, but, I mean, it's in the East, Eastern time zone. So it's, you know, basically it's a 10 o'clock start here for us, so that will be interesting. And then road games are always tough, and I watched a good bit of that Cardinals game, and it was just kind of funky how, you know, it was a typical, you know, NFL game where it looked like the Cardinals were pretty much in control for all of the game, and then, you know, you look up and it's in the fourth quarter and the Saints look like they're going to, you know, go in and, you know, pull out this victory, but, you know, they just didn't get it done. So again, I don't think that we are in a position, even though we got this win and we are celebrating now, I don't think that we are in a position. I didn't see anything that led me to believe that we're good enough to kind of just throw our jocks out on the field and think that we're going to beat anybody. So hopefully we can put together another solid game, both offensively and defensively. I The one thing that I have always thought about Brock, because, I mean, we have debated, you know, his ability ad nauseum and, you know, top five, top 10, whatever. But one of the things I've always thought about him, YOLO aside, is that he usually makes pretty good decisions. And it seemed like the thing that we had talked about himself and, you know, striving to do too much. It really seemed like that's what that was today, was it, rather than just kind of taking what the Seattle defense gave him, he was really trying to force things. And that was the genesis of, you know, pretty much all of his bad passes, was just kind of doing too much. And if, you know, if we're going to be good, he just has to play within himself. He doesn't, you know, and I don't know how the money and how that affects him or makes him, you know, feel like if he's pressing or what, or he just needs to be himself, because he's good enough. Yeah. If he just does his thing and just be this, if he just be yourself, it would be my advice to him. And you're enough. Just do the things that you do well. Just do those things. You don't have to try to do any more than that. You don't have to try to, you know, put the team on your back. Just because I, you know, people use think that term game manager is kind of a pejorative. I don't think so at all. I think it's what most quarterbacks are, is you take what the see what it is, see it, throw it. Don't try to do too much, because, you know, that's, if he just does that, we'll be fine. So what we can't have is two turnovers and a possible third. He can't be throwing picks, and that's what ends up happening when you try to do too much or make poor decisions and go places with the ball that you shouldn't. So the turnovers aside, I thought it was he had a really good game going for a while there, even though it was, you know, the yardage wasn't quite there. But yeah, I'm looking forward. What I saw from the Saints, we should be able to go in there and beat them dudes. So
the throw, if I think back about some of those throws, so the first interception, Brock kind of, instead of stepping into a throw, it's almost like he tried to put some touch on it or something, and that was probably the wrong move, because, and this is, you know, having Greg Olsen on this broadcast was awesome, because when I saw that it was him and Joe Davis, I was like, fantastic, because Greg Olsen is like my favorite guy on the Fox crew, because I think he just explains things in a way that your casual fan will understand it, but then he can also go into a little bit more detail. So he talked about this play that Brock threw the first pick on. So Christian has to pick up the blitz. So by picking up the blitz, Christian kind of falls and he doesn't get into the spot which would have made him the check down. And Brock would have probably just checked down on that pass. So what happens is the linebacker who's supposed to follow Christian, the linebacker sees that Christian is down. So what does he do? Well, he backs up into the spot that Brock thinks that he has to throw. And then there was a moment later in the game where he's got Pretty Ricky right at the pylon for a touchdown. And he needs to zip it in there a little bit more, probably needs to step into it a little bit more. And he kind of flutters it out there. And the defensive back at the last second is able to slap it away. Those two throws, if he steps into those throws, it's possible they're completions. Now, I don't know if there's a reason why he did not step into those throws the way that he probably needs to. I don't know if it's an arm thing or if it's just like, oh, yeah, just, I just made a bad decision. I took it for granted that he was open and I need to step into that thing. But those two scenarios, I think, are like, you know, maybe more important for them to talk about than he just made a bad decision throwing in a triple coverage on that one because he didn't think anyone was open, even though Brian Robinson was open in the flat, but he was just looking downfield. So, you know, I do wonder if he's kind of in his head a little bit about, you know, I cannot lose us these games. Like, I need to make these right decisions, and it's quite possible. Right. And also, you lose Kittle. That's your main dude. Jennings is hurt. And Jennings, by the way, I thought Jennings looked really slow, and it's quite possible that that calf thing is just bugging him still. That calf thing may be more real than maybe we thought, because I just thought he looked really slow. Like, there are some times when he catches the ball, and he's not a fast guy in general, but he catches the ball, and if he can get his shoulder squared, he's not going down with the first hit. And they kind of were able to manhandle him a little bit. So that's something to keep an eye on. And maybe it was the shoulder thing. Maybe he just wasn't comfortable out there. So anyways, I don't want to give Brock, you know, any excuses necessarily, but I just thought, you know, if he thought about those two throws, he probably goes, okay, if I put a little bit more steam on those things, then we're fine. And we're probably win this game running away, but he didn't. And then that's why this game was close as it was. Before we get out of here, I did want to look at the rest of the NFC West. So like we said, the Cardinals won. And part of winning this first game is, you know, you got one on Seattle, and now, you know, they got to come into Levi's to even up the score. And hopefully, you know, the 49ers feel like, you know, they can take care of business in Levi's. But you want to beat these NFC West teams, because as we predicted, we think that the division is going to be pretty close all season long. And the Rams beat the Texans 14-9 I didn't get to see any of this game either, but I can't imagine it was something. It wasn't like Buffalo and Baltimore late Sunday night, which was a barn burner.
That's for
my
sure.
Gosh. You know, the Rams are a very smart football team. You know, they kept the Texans offense in check, and it looks like Stafford did just enough to win the game, probably in a very game managery kind of way. So the Rams are going to be there unless the injuries, you know, deplete them, much like it could happen to the 49ers. But I was listening to Peter Schrager. I know you listen to Bill Simmons too, but Peter Schrager was putting over Jimmy G he was putting him over like crazy.
And
I'm like, okay, I get it, Pete. I get it. But I know Jimmy like you don't know Jimmy. And I don't know if you can hear Jimmy, Pete. I'm not sure you can hear him. But that'll be interesting. Like, I can't imagine Rams fans are going to be that comfortable with Jimmy G if he has to start any games with Matt Stafford possibly being hurt at some point. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the Rams are game. They're very well coached. They have a really good roster. They're a smart football team. They're going to hang in there. And I think they're going to be competitive all season long. So it was good to get one over Seattle for those same reasons, because Seattle's trying to rebuild this thing as well. And then now they have the Saints. Anything that you saw in any of these games where, you know, anything stood out of like, oh man, if we got to play these guys, it's going to be some rough sledding?
It was a really exciting, I really enjoy, especially the first window. All the really good games were in the AFC. So those is, you know, the one thing that is kind of 49er adjacent is that Mike McDaniel might be available to be a consultant by Thanksgiving, because the Dolphins did not look great.
No way.
At all.
Goodness.
So I don't know.
That was alarming.
I don't know what's going on there. So I'm sure his seat is cooking right now. Because apparently, you know, obviously they didn't score until the fourth quarter, and then I guess Tyreek Hill is already out on the season. So
did he say something?
Apparently he had a tantrum on the sideline.
Maybe they'll trade him.
This is week one. Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to say it was nice to see Debo take that little reverse or whatever that was to the house.
He had a good week. I mean, a good first game. You know, he is playing for another contract, so I am not surprised. I will not be surprised if he has an awesome season this year. Good for him. He bet on himself, and you know, it's so far so good.
And I saw the Raiders got a win over the Pats. Another one that would look like a little bit of a rock fight. I think those teams are going to be fairly competitive. They may be 9-8 competitive more than, you know, 11-6 or 10-7 competitive. But I was actually looking at that box score because I was super interested in that game to see if, you know, if Pete would mean something. You know, how much does Pete mean with the Raiders roster? I saw Brock Bowers at a 100-yard game. And Ashton Jeanty did not, 19 carries, 38 yards. So they were keying on him. But yeah, I was like, you know, Drake May, everyone's looking for who's the new Jaden, and Drake May, he had to throw a lot, but that was interesting too. All right. So the Saints next week, we're just crossing our fingers that hamstring sounds bad to me. So if Kittle,
it was the thing about the hamstring is it was like a non-contact injury. Yeah. You know, he, like you said, he was just out there. It was like he was blocking, kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, shielding the guy, and then he pulls up lame, which is always a bad sign, is when it's not, you know, it's not like he got hit or anything. It just kind of gave on him. So hopefully he's okay, because like you say, those kind of things can, you know, can linger and can be more serious than him and JJ. I mean, are two ostensibly, you know, although I guess Pretty Ricky would say he would throw his name in there, are two top pass catchers in terms of proven productivity, are kind of dinged up. And like you said, but the thing about it with JJ is that it's their shoulder, but I agree with you and your observation that he didn't look great to begin with in terms of his movement. So I don't know. Hopefully we get good news on both fronts.
I do wonder though, because of the turf. You know, I think they're going to lean, because this is just such a long season, they're going to lean health, I think, on both of those guys. But what it could mean is Kendrick Bourne is still unsigned, and I know they've talked about him. I know MVS, I guess he technically played. I didn't see him really doing much. They had Gage on the field, but I don't think Gage have a catch? I don't think he had a catch.
He didn't have a target.
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of openings. So whether it's more for Ricky or whether it's, you know, over having to overuse CMC, but then again, now, you know, they're going to be on that turf, and so you got to wonder about him as well. So next week is, I almost feel like already it's more about the injuries before it's even about the game. So that'll be, I'm sure, a talking point for the entire week with Kyle and the crew. But hey, they got the first one, and they can, you know, they can kind of figure out what they need to do, knowing that they're 1-0. Because if they are 0-1 going into the Seattle game, you're probably thinking a little bit more urgently with some of these injuries, but maybe that allows them to kind of be a little bit safer. I don't know though. I would man, you got to go for the goat. You got to go for everything to go 2-0 to start.
Got to get these wins. Yeah.
You got to bank them, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true.
So, because we go Saints, and then it's Cardinals. That's the first home game. And then it's Jags, which is their second home game. And then Rammies, I think, is on a Monday night. So you get the one out of the way, and you get kind of an easy game in game two. And then it starts picking up a little bit. So, yeah, it is.
And you definitely want to come out of this. You know, it's one game at a time, but you definitely want to start 2-0. You'd hate to split with that loss, you know, the loss to the Saints. Cause I think when it's all said and done, they are going to be, you know, they'll be picking at the top of the draft, and you just, it'll be one of those games where you end up kicking yourself at the end of the season if you kind of let that one get away.
All right. We'll be back next week, hopefully on a live stream, and we will have the scheduled, if we do go live, we'll have it scheduled early that morning so people can see in their notifications for those of you who are subscribed to our YouTube channel. And if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, give it a subscribe. We're growing that thing. A lot of it is thanks to the Valkyries, by the way. So if you, we would love to have more Niner folks. And, you know, we have the new Discord as well. So if you are interested, gg@bspnmedia.com, I can get you an invite to the Discord. So that is it from here. So for Rod, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit LeafHome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.